Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Rowan County Superintendent John Maxey. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Good morning. It's really great to be here with you today, and thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely. We're always glad to have a chance to chit-chat with members of our community. We got a few things to talk about today, but first I wanted to touch base with you on how the 2019 legislative session is going to affect the district. I know that with all the legalese that happens in Frankfort, a lot of times we don't realize, hey, this has to do with me, because when you hear HB 727 or something like
right,
that, maybe
exactly.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. But the first thing that's really that will affect schools across the state is the bill which was passed about tobacco-free campuses.
Mm-hmm.
I know Rowan County has had a tobacco-free campus for some time, but of course I've been to especially sporting events that are outside where people are still hanging out by the fence,
right.
Smoking. And I wondered how are things going to change now that we have legislation that backs it up?
Well, I'm glad we brought up that topic because, you know, this legislative session was really an exciting session because there were lots of controversy on both sides and a lot of different things come out. And there was a lot of, a focus and attention revolving around education. And so we were paying particular attention to several different bills. But in the end of the session, there wasn't a whole lot of bills that actually made it out and to the governor's desk that really impacted us. But one of those bills was this tobacco-free campus bill, which I think is a good bill. It strengthens a little bit about the language and things that have previously been in there. And as you mentioned, Rowan County has for quite some time has had a policy about no tobacco use on campus. We will probably have to strengthen some of our local board policies relating to that. And we work really closely with the Kentucky School Board Association that helps to write all of our local policies and things. And so we were just discussing this with them not very recently. And we will have to change a little bit of our language because a lot of that has to deal with vaping and smokeless tobacco products and those type of things. And vaping, of course, as you well know, has become a real issue across the nation, really. It
seems like everybody's doing it. It's as popular now as smoking was in the 50s,
right?
Seems.
And I think there's a lot of misrepresentation by some of those companies producing some of those vaping products. A lot of that's being, I think, marketed to teens, and teens are really drawn to it. And I think that there is a perception out there that it's somehow less dangerous or better for your health than maybe smoking is. But we're working a lot about with vaping. I'll talk about that a little bit later on. But this particular bill addresses some of those gaps, about smokeless tobacco and vaping and those type of things. But one of the things that addresses, too, is like board-owned vehicles. We're not supposed to be smoking board-owned vehicles. We do have some employees that use, school vehicles that do smoke, and that's something that they will have to change and we'll have to address with them. And then, like at outside sporting events and that type of thing, we'll have to look at our policies about how we can strengthen those things as well.
Yeah, I know it's you can put the signs up.
Right.
But people don't necessarily read or heed a sign.
Right. You know, for the most part, we've had a really good cooperation from the community with that. And I have noticed a few people using the vaping products, and they'll step out kind of outside the stadium a little bit. I was just recently at a middle school soccer game, and I noticed a guy, he was using some kind of a vape pen there or something, but he was walking over to his car to do that, to get away from the stadium and that type of thing, which I thought was very courtesy and showing a lot of courtesy and respect to the patrons there at the game that night.
I know even if you're not, it's kind of like secondhand smoke, but for me personally, they have the smell.
Exactly.
That can really affect breathing, because a lot of people have allergies.
Sure.
Just to, and it may not be to whatever's included in the oil that or whatever that they're using, but if it smells like cinnamon,
I got to leave.
Yeah, right. Well, and there's a lot of people, you know, that are asthma sufferers and different things, and they're very sensitive to a lot of those things. But we certainly appreciate, as we work through this, we certainly appreciate the community, stepping up and helping us with that.
Right. Now, one of the other bills that passed had to do with pension reform. Really, it addressed regional universities and quasi-governmental agencies, allowing them to leave the state pension system, but that didn't really affect K-12 education.
Well, no, not directly, but indirectly, it could have an effect on, you know, how much money is going into the system to keep it balanced, and so that's a concern that we'll have to keep an eye on. But, directly, as far as our staff and employees, it won't change very much for them and how we do business, and it won't affect really, you know, our bottom line as far as the money that we put into the retirement system, that type of thing. It won't have that big of an effect on us. But we do have to be cautious about if someone was to leave the system, you know, that's less revenue going into that fund as a whole. So that is a concern for us long term.
Now, educators as a whole across the state of Kentucky were very involved in this year's legislative session. Mm. There were several school districts within the state that were shut down because so many teachers were calling in sick and going, and of course it was during flu season, so some of them I'm sure were actually sick, but they were going to the Capitol to see what happened and hold their legislators accountable. What did we do here for Rowan County? Because I know there were some teachers who attended.
We did have some teachers attend, and I have to take this opportunity to really brag on our teachers and have to really brag on our Rowan County Education Association by the way they handled this and organized, and they still rallied around the topics and issues in Frankfort, and they still advocated for their people back in the schools. But they did an outstanding job. I have a really good relationship with our Rowan County Education Association, so I've worked very closely with them. And one of the things that we did was we got delegates from each school, and we sent delegates down during the legislative session during key times when they thought that, bills were being discussed that directly affected our teachers. So we wanted representation down there. We wanted to be, have a voice in Frankfort. But we felt like this was the very best way to advocate for our teachers, but do it in a way that didn't impact the students in the classroom, because our teachers were very, very concerned about making sure our students receive services in the classroom, that we didn't have disruptions to the school day, that we didn't have disruptions to parents and that type of thing. And so it worked very well. We had people down there each day. I think we had some terrific representation. I know I worked with Mary Beth Armstrong, whom I'm sure you know very well, and I worked closely with James Hood and some of those people in the RCA, and Allison Sloan. Some of those people have had a lot of experience advocating in Frankfort, and so I met and talked with them each day and made sure they got people that they could not only take with them but help train for the future to say, hey, this is how you go about being a productive voice in Frankfort. Because, you know, it's one thing to go down there and show up in person, but to go down there and really advocate for your cause, you need some experience about how to handle yourself in Frankfort, about the right doors to open and the places to go see and how to get into your legislators. So I made sure that Mary Beth and some of those experienced people that have been there before were willing to train those people that are going and making sure that their voice was effective down there in Frankfort.
And a lot of people with social media and the world is so small now, it seems, I feel like a lot of people take the time to pay closer attention. Mm-hmm. We're all watching very closely.
Right.
And that may change how legislators go about the decisions that they're making as far as the votes that they're taking and the things that they approve or disapprove of.
Well, our teachers did a wonderful job handling themselves, and there were some really hot issues that were out there that was burning. I think it's something that we'll have to keep a close eye on in the future because some of those bills got a little traction. Even though they didn't get out and make it to the governor's desk, they still, some of them got some traction. And I think that they're bills that not only our teachers need to watch, but the public in general, because I think that it's important for our community members and our community leaders to keep abreast of those bills and understand how it impacts your local school districts. There are just some very, very important things out there. You know, our teachers, they work extremely hard. They're and they really are committed. Our teachers in this district are very committed to their students, and I see it every day out there in the classrooms, and I can't brag on them enough. And so I think we need to do everything we can to pull for support in Frankfort.
And I do want to talk a little bit about some things that are coming up here in within the district that are coming up within the next couple of months. But first, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
April is Child Abuse Prevention Month. Join us, Prevent Child Abuse Kentucky, and our partners across the state as we do more of what we love, creating great childhoods for all kids. Support youth through mentoring and being an encouraging example. Support parents by ensuring they have positive environments where children can thrive. Give a parent a break by bringing over dinner. Volunteer for a local youth serving program. There are so many ways to be involved. Contact us at 1-800-CHILDREN.
And we're back here on Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Rowan County Superintendent John Maxey. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Okay.
All right, now I'm going to ask the question because all of the parents of Rowan County school kids want to know, with the snow days and everything, when's the last day of school? I know that that's been announced.
Yes, it has, and our last day of school will be May the 16th, mm-hmm. and we will be dismissing at 1 o'clock that day. We use a little bank time that we had banked, and we're able to get out at 1 o'clock on that day. And then graduation will be that night at 7 p.m., and that will be at the AAC here on MSU's campus.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot. Now, those seniors, you mentioned that they are going to be participating about a week before that. They're going to do an Inspiration Day. Tell me mm-hmm. a little bit about what they're planning.
Well, I'm really excited about Inspiration Day. A few weeks ago, actually really got organized. I think they've been working on a little bit all year long. But our Youth Service Center at Rowan County Senior High School and the high school administration thought that this would be a really neat way to give the seniors a chance to give back to the younger ones. And so they came up with this idea of Inspiration Day. And so what it basically is all of the seniors are the ones that want to participate. Some students may not want to participate, but a lot of them will. They are going to put on their caps and gowns. They've ordered those caps and gowns in plenty of time to get those in. They're going to don those caps and gowns, and they're going to go out to their elementary schools where they came from. They're going to go back and talk with the younger students and just give them a little inspiration speech about education and about their journey through the school system. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be an exciting day, and that will be, I think, on May the 9th. Mm-hmm. They will have Inspiration Day.
Yeah, and then also the Senior Awards Night is that evening.
That's right, exactly. Of course, that's always a fabulous evening. We're looking forward to Senior Awards Night. And we've got, of course, some fantastic group of students this year that will be graduating. And they've had some really, really good successes. And we're looking forward to Awards Night. And that's a chance for the universities to come out and give their scholarships. And we've had a lot of successes in our athletic programs. As mm-hmm. you've probably seen in the local paper, we've had a lot of students that are signing to continue their athletic careers at a university of some sort. So we've got a lot to celebrate this year, and this is just an absolutely exciting time of the year. I really look forward to graduation, and of course, take this time to thank MSU and Dr. Morgan for working with us to make the AAC available for our graduation. Mm-hmm. And on Wednesday night that week is our eighth grade promotion. It'll be at the AAC as well. And I tell you that if you've never been to one of our high school graduations, we really have some big participation in that.
There's a lot of people the AAC is full.
It is.
You got to get there early if you want to sit close. Because
absolutely.
I've gone to those events sometimes and shown up closer to start time and gone, oh goodness, where am I going to sit?
It's one of the larger high school graduations you'll attend in this particular area.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the reasons is because we've had that large venue up there. People know, hey, we can bring as many people as we want because we've got that large arena to go in, but it really works out well, and we appreciate Dr. Morgan and MSU working with us to make that facility available.
It is a really nice facility, and especially since they added those big old fans, I really appreciate that those are in there. But right now, the students are getting ready for K-prep testing.
That's really right.
Focusing on that right now. That's April 29th through May the 6th.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything special that the students have to do while they're taking those tests?
Well, you know, it's one of the, in my opinion, not necessarily most important time of the year, but it's certainly one of the most important times. And so we would encourage all of our parents to, you know, talk with their students about the importance of doing their best, presenting their best efforts, trying to get a good night's sleep, making sure that they've had breakfast in the morning, making sure that they've, you know, getting plenty of rest and things, and just stressing the importance. I've told all of our coaches to try and look at their schedules and anything they can do to try and, you know, end games earlier or get them started earlier so we can get kids back home and get them in bed to rest. I think everybody from parents to teachers to coaches all need to stress the importance of this testing. And one of the things that, you know, we want to look at and see how much kids have grown. But it's a chance for teachers and administrators in the school district to reflect on what's working well and what's not, because we take all of that information that we get back and we readjust our curriculum, we readjust everything we're doing in the classroom based around that K-prep testing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that's not in education, they may be a little critical, well, they're just teaching to the test. But if you look back at how that test is designed, that test is actually aligned to the state standards. And so if we're teaching the standards correctly, it'll come out on that test.
Mm-hmm.
So that test is a good measurement tool, if you will, to look back and say, how well are we doing in the classroom at teaching those standards? So it's not, you know, necessarily just teaching to the test, or it's not that that test is the most important thing. But that's the tool we have to look at to see back how have students grown over the years? How effective is our instruction being in the classroom?
Mm-hmm.
So if we're not getting things accomplished right in the classroom, we want to go back and readjust what we're doing, readjust our practices.
Right.
So it's a really, really important time. And, you know, I stress to my students all the time, my own personal kids, about how important that testing is. And it's not just about, you know, it's not about the funding for our school. It's not about any. It's about those students and making sure they're getting the instruction they need in the classroom.
Right. Now, one of the things that I wanted to touch base on before we're out of time today, I know that the Rowan campus of Maysville Community and Technical College is almost out of the building. Are they out officially, or is it at the end of the semester? I know there's a few things still happening there that's up there on Viking Drive.
That's right. They do still have a few classes going on. They're shop classes like construction technology, auto mechanics, diesel mechanics. Some of those lab classes are still there, but they are working on their building out there, and it should be completed by the end of June. And then their hopes is in July to start moving all of their stuff and be completely vacating that campus by the end of June, 1st of July timeframe. And so then we would like to be able to go in there and start our renovations immediately in July.
Okay. Now this, on the list that you gave me, the renovation project schedule, mm-hmm. do you think you'll start right away this summer? And what are your plans for it?
That is our hope. So we can start in construction mid-July, 1st of August, that we can have actually construction started out there. What we want to do is we're going to go in the front office area. If you've been in KCTCS, you know that front building is kind of the office. We're going to make that the central office.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of renovation in there we're going to do. We're just going to kind of freshen it up and paint it, clean it up really well. But it's in good shape for what we want to use it for. And then the mid part of that building, or the central section, that's all going to become a preschool center.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where a lot of real heavy renovation is going to take place, because the new state requirements for a preschool center, we have to have a certain square footage in each classroom. We have to have restroom facilities in those classrooms available. There's a lot of requirements for a preschool facility that will require extensive renovation in that midsection. And then the back area, we're going to renovate so that our alternative school students can be located there. And we'd also like to be able to have a drill room for our ROTC students to come over there and do some work and have their own area. Right now, they practice in the gymnasium at the high school. We want them to have their own classroom and drill room and that type of thing. And we'll also utilize that in the afternoons for other things as well. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, in the wintertime, the baseball could come in there and practice and that type of thing. So a lot of extensive renovation be going on, and we hope to have all that started in July or August. And then we'd like to be able to have it all completed the following year, which would allow preschool and everybody to move in there in the fall of 2020.
And that would put everybody in a very centralized location.
It would. And I know there's been some discussions about, traffic flow and that type of thing. But the traffic flow really won't be that much different, because I've had several people question me, well, you're putting all this additional students up there. Will that create a traffic problem? We really won't be adding as many students as KCTCS had. Mm-hmm. So KCTCS still had a lot of traffic up there. They still had a lot of students coming and going. So, yes, it's going to be a busy area, and, yes, we're going to have traffic congestion. I don't anticipate that it will be that much more congested than it was with KCTCS. But if it is, we may do some things like staggering start times and ending times and that type of thing to help with the traffic somewhat.
Right. Well, I know everyone will be looking forward to seeing what you guys have got on there. But you also have an update on the Collins Park area. I know that that's the community park that's kind of across from the Walmart area here in Moorhead. And you guys had made that surplus property, and it's sold, or you were intending to sell. I don't know where we are in that process.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. That we have entered into a sales contract with an individual, a developer out of Tennessee, that would like to develop that. But we have not closed on that property. That's still, we've got a lot of, anytime a school system goes through, selling of surplus property, there's a whole lot of legal legwork we have to do and that type of thing, a lot of hoops we have to jump through. So we're still in the process of getting all that worked out. And it may be still, I'm thinking it may be Octoberish or so before we have everything finalized on the sale of that property. But right now, activities are still just as planned. Mm-hmm. They're still having baseball games there and all the activities just as normal. And we can intend for that to continue, because in this sales contract, we have it negotiated in there that those fields would be donated back to either us or donated back to the city to continue that use and that cooperation we've always had with the city to have C-League games and that type of thing down there. But then we want to go up on the Viking Drive and build a new baseball facility and a tennis facility.
Really?
Up there. So that's something we're looking at trying to get done. We've started that whole process with our architect. And our hope is, as soon as we can close on that property there, the Board of Education would like to reinvest that money in these new athletic facilities up on campus and open those up for community people as well to use, just like our tennis facilities. That's something the community could come in and use.
Well, that's wonderful. I know that right now the baseball teams downtown in City Park, and I don't know, as a parent, it's kind of hard to get your kid from point A to point B for practice.
Exactly.
And making that kind of pushes everything back if there's travel time. So that would kind of change the scheduling when students could start practice a little bit earlier.
That's right. They could practice earlier and they wouldn't have to travel down there after school. Mm-hmm. That's always a little bit of a safety concern when you've got, a lot of those boys are 16, 17 years old and they're jumping in their own cars and maybe sharing rides or different things to get downtown. So as an administrator, we always worry a little bit about those kids traveling and their safety. So by getting all those facilities up on campus, they'll be able just to go right outside the school and start practice or whatever.
Have you guys decided where that field's going to be?
Yes, we are. We're going to locate that right between the softball field and the new middle school.
There's
a big vacant area there, and it would fit right in that spot. It's almost just about the perfect size for it.
Great.
And we would locate that in such a way that people could park in the KCTCS building lot and have lots of parking there and just walk right into the field.
That's a wonderful little area, too, mm-hmm. with the baseball and or the football, mm-hmm. football field, and then the softball field
right.
as well. So that's wonderful.
We'll have a nice complex up there.
Yeah, it'll be great. Well, I look forward to seeing how all that goes as we get more into those projects. But that's all the time we have here today on
Afternoon. Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Superintendent John Maxey here at Rowan County School District. Thanks for being here.
Mm-hmm, thank you. I really enjoyed it.
And we'll see the rest of you on Friday.